Come on in. The doors are open. You are welcome here at the Intentional Living Center, where today you and I are going to discover again God's loving intentions for your marriage. He's only got good in mind for your marriage. If that's the case, I know some of you are thinking, how come it's so crummy? How come we're struggling so much if His intentions for me and for our marriage are so good? Let me start with a little diagnostic set of questions, and then we're going to jump into this and open the phone lines for you as well. And I want you to come and join me and share with me a very positive question that'll be helpful for you to express it and others to hear it. When do you feel most loved by your spouse? That's really the question. When do you feel most loved by your, what is it? And think about it. Maybe in the last 24 hours, maybe it's been the last 24 years. But you say, hey, I really felt most love right there at that moment. In my book, Star for Affection, on page 9, I give some diagnostic questions about what I have you think about. Do you feel close or distant from your spouse, generally? Do you feel passionate or do you feel mechanical? Is your behavior toward your spouse spontaneous or do you find it to be more just routine? And boy, that third question is one we hear a lot. That's the issue. You're raising kids, going to work, just the routine of life. By the way, routine is not a substitute for satisfaction. Are you emotionally full or emotionally empty? Do you feel loved as you were meant to be loved, or is there something missing? Do you feel inspired or expired by your spouse's touch? Do you feel adored or indifferent? Or do you feel understood or disregarded when you talk? You know what? My guess is even the best of marriages would say, you know, we've all had moments where we'd say yes on the bad side of those because we're human beings. Hey, let me give you a scripture and then we're going to set the tone today. We're going to find out what is God's intention for marriage. Lots of places we could go in scripture, but I landed in an interesting place, 1 John 4:7, where John says, beloved, let us love, underline that, love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Profound thought here. And it's biblical. It is impossible to be a Christian and not love. Ouch. Now, it doesn't mean you always feel loved or loving or kind, but it's impossible. It is impossible, according to Scripture, to be a Christian and not love in a biblical way. And we're going to talk about what that means today. Love is the centerpiece of our theme today. And there are lots of reasons not to love. You got a lot of things going on. There's maybe been a lack of honesty or a lack of openness in the marriage. Communication isn't going well. There's lots of reasons not to feel loving toward your spouse. And by the way, that's not a substitute for dealing with issues. Love doesn't mean you don't deal with things, but you do it in a way that honors God. So here's God's intention. Ready? We've got to list these out, then we'll get to your calls. Because I want to hear from you, when do you feel most loved by your spouse? That's really the question. I mean, that's a profound thought. When do you feel most loved? What is it? 888-888-1717. God's intention is clear. In marriage, love has got to be the centerpiece. In fact, love is a prerequisite to knowing God because God is the essence of love. And for those of us who are followers of Christ, love has to be a centerpiece in our marriage. And of course, the Bible talks about love as an action. It's something that we do. It's not just a feeling. When I wrote the book Star for Affection, for Focus on the Family, as I did my research, I really focused on the fact that affection is the feeling side of love. That's what it is. When you affect your spouse, you affect them in a way that they feel love. And my friend Gary Chapman wrote The 5 Love Languages, knowing that we affect our spouse in different ways, some by words, some by acts of service, you know, some by gifts and so on, different ways, knowing our spouse well enough to know that affection is the feeling side of love where we're really affecting our spouse. And so today we want to just release some thoughts. I'd love to hear from you, but this is about you. I want to hear your story just very quickly. When do you feel most loved? And it might be something that prompts someone to to realize there's a different way of making marriage work. Because the reality is, there are benefits whenever you make his intentions for your marriage your intentions for your marriage, because you are never closer to God than when you love your spouse. I believe that. In fact, it's a validation of God working in your life.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I help support the program, and I get out of it everything I need to be intentional in my life, and it has helped me greatly in my devotion. It's helped me learn about relationships, and it's free advice, and it's biblical. And that's why I like the show, and that's why I help support it. Thank you.
Here's a question from one of our listeners, a man who said, "I've said things to my wife that really hurt her. What can I do?" I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. You know, the scripture says in Ecclesiastes 5, don't be rash with your mouth, especially before God. But it's also true before your spouse and before those that you care about. You've heard me say many times that we judge ourselves by our good intentions. But you know what? In marriage, your spouse is going to judge you by their expectations. So can I encourage you today, if you've said things to your spouse that really have hurt, to take ownership for your mouth, ownership for your words, and go to them and just simply and humbly say, "I am sorry for saying that. I was having a bad day too. Will you forgive me?" Consider your words in the future. When you do that, that's intentional living.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com.
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Karen, and I am just calling from Peoria. And I wanted to call and just express that my husband and I are doing so much better at doing intentional things for each other that make each other feel special. And one of the things that my husband has been doing for me that I just really appreciate is every morning he gets up, he turns the coffee pot on, and he brings me a cup of coffee. And he'll even open the shower door and let me take a sip of coffee first thing in the morning. And it's just a special thing that he does for me.
We posted the question online, when do you feel most loved? And boy, we got a lot of comments. Melody here says, he consistently thinks about and acts on how he can make my life easier. That's an act of love, isn't it? When you see something and you just act on it, you do something that your spouse, you know it's important to him or her, maybe not to you, but you do it anyway. Melody goes on to say, when I feel respected and protected, which causes me, she says, to do the same for him. It's reciprocal, isn't it? Claudine says, I feel most loved because he gives me the curly tip from his ice cream cone. You know, a little curly tip on the end? So she gets the first bite, I guess. John says, rubs my back, my neck, my shoulders, listens to me, brings me chocolate. That must be love language, right? Chocolate. This is really about your story. We want to hear your story. What is it when you feel most loved in your marriage, and what your spouse does intentionally make that happen? You know, we, as human beings, we recognize that the basic needs that we have a need for meaning, we have a need for freedom, for love, for hope. And I believe that those things begin to flow in our life, including love, when his intentions for your marriage, his meaning God's intention for your marriage becomes your intention for your marriage, nothing more powerful than at that moment. And then as you act on that, I find that it begins to flow. Love begins to flow, hope. There's a change in the tone of marriage. And it's as simple as saying, as a follower of Christ, to know what his intention is and then act on it. That's intentional living. We believe around here in the power we call the power of one thing, doing one thing intentionally until it becomes a transformational habit. So I would ask you, I'd challenge you, what is one thing that you could do in your marriage over the next 30 days that would help your spouse feel most loved? Okay? We'll come back to that in a moment. All right, Christina, you're going to be first up today from Michigan. Welcome to Intentional Living Center. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. How long have you been married?
Only a year and a half.
Well, all right, 18 months. You're just getting started. Good time to be thinking about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. When do you feel most loved?
I feel most loved by my husband when I'm laying in bed and I cannot sleep, which is a real problem for me. And I ask him to tell me stories. And sometimes he like shuts me down and says no, because it's really hard for him to come up with something creative, because I'm the creative person in our relationship, I would say. So he just tells me this long, elaborate story filled with like ums and likes and you knows. But it's still really sweet to me because he's taking the time to like think really hard things that would make me smile when I can't sleep. And it works every single time, and I love it every single time, and it always makes me sleep with a smile on my face.
Fantastic. What attracted you to him when you first met him?
I don't know. I want to say that I went to a Christian college, and I was looking for someone that was as solid as me, but then what ended up happening is that I needed someone to grow with me. So, he wasn't as solid as I was, and I wasn't as solid as he was, and I thought he loved God more than I did. But it was this moment where I was talking to my friend, and I said, I think God is showing me how much he loves me through Rusty, because I don't think I'm capable of loving as much as he is. Mm. So it was just this amazing feeling when it just opened my eyes to, like, this is how much love is. Like, someone can love you as much as or as more than you love them. So.
Well, listen, I hope you're 18 months into your marriage. I hope 18 years, 28 years, 58 years, he's still telling those stories, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, God bless you. Listen, it's a simple thing. I think you're going to find it's the little things. It's not the new Mercedes he just bought you. That'd be nice, right? But in the long run, that's going to go away. But it'll be those other things, the little things that make a difference. Okay, Gilbert's on the line in Arizona. Hi there. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. When do you feel most loved?
When I get home from work.
How's that happen?
Well, my wife comes out because we only have one remote control for our garage. So I text her and ask her to open the garage for me. And then she comes out in the garage and she meets me there with a big hug and a kiss. And in the summertime, usually a glass of iced tea.
All right. Hey, this is what we're talking about, Gilbert.
Yes.
By the way, don't ever buy another remote, because that'll stop. See, this way you got one remote, you call, she comes out, you get this, right?
Amen.
Yeah, okay. But it's the simple things, iced tea, a kiss, attention, the back rubs, the time. That's what really makes a difference. Okay, Gilbert, thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. God bless you.
All right. Hey, so let me challenge you, and then I want to come back and ask you to come and tell me what it is. I want to challenge you, because we believe in the power of one thing, doing one thing intentionally until it becomes a transformational habit is what can change your life. And so pick one thing to focus on for the next 30 days that will let your spouse know that you love them. Maybe they're a little starved for affection. You don't want them to get there. And then tell us how we can support you in prayer in that. I'll tell you how to do that in a moment. Here's a couple ideas. How about speaking into their life each day? Be intentional for the next 30 days to speak into their life one thing every day. A word of encouragement. Telling them you love them. Asking their opinion. Something that you know is important to them. How about this? How about helping out without being asked? Taking dishes, taking care of them, or making the bed, or helping with the kids. And don't be asked. Just do it because you know it's needed. Boy, here's a big one. We get this one a lot at our conferences. For the next 30 days, I will not criticize or correct my spouse. And there's going to be some lip biting with that, because it's easy. It comes easily to think, well, I'm only trying to help. But it's painful for people. And it's makes people in relationship feel distance, not closeness. Don't criticize. How about listen without interruption for the next 30 days? What's your one thing? Tell us what it is. We'd love to hear it. You can go to our website and then go to today's program when you get there. Go to theintentionallife.com. Click on today's program, and there's opportunity for you there to get information about this topic and then share with us your one thing so we can pray with you about what that one thing is for the next 30 days. Right now, the question at hand is, when do you feel most loved in your marriage?
If you're going through marital problems, I think you have to focus on the other person and not on what you're feeling, especially if you're a sensitive person like myself. When I started to show my wife love and understanding and kindness, she wondered what was going on. You know, where's this coming from, this guy who I was fighting with for so long? And she wanted what I had, what we used to have, what we had at the beginning of our relationship, those very same things, the joy, the love, the sharing, the kindness. That's what I showed her. That's what she responded to, and that's what saved our marriage.
You know, you hear about a testimony like that and you think, how does that relate to my situation? Maybe you're struggling. You say, yeah, but you don't know my wife or you don't know my husband. And the reality is the story may be slightly different, but the solution always comes back to the same thing, and that is to be intentionally loving one another, going back to that first love. Think about it, when you all connected in that relationship. You know, today we're talking about, when do you feel most loved? And one of the greatest suggestions I can give to you from our Intentional Living Center today is to ask that question, or really learn, when is it that your spouse feels most loved? And that's really more important than when you feel most loved, because when the focus is on our spouse and we put them in their place of loving them and caring for them the way God intended us to do, I can almost guarantee you that things will be better, if not in their mind, certainly in your own heart and your own area of control when it comes to your relationship with your spouse. Today, we'd love to hear your comment. You can share it with us on our storyline at 888-888-1717. We love to hear from you, and we appreciate being a part of your life today from our Intentional Living Center. And as we're now into 2026, just several days, I want to thank those of you who are supporting us, standing with us, being a part of the ministry. And I'm going to tell you how you can do that in just a moment. When dealing with an emotionally weak person, enter and exit conversations gently. That's a really practical thing to share with you, because you're dealing with a person who's not going to take a lot of agitation when you want to talk to them about something. And you all know what I'm talking about. You have relationships with people that you can push a certain button with a word that you say or the way that you communicate and just blow this whole thing up. And it's important to understand what doesn't work with an emotionally weak person. Number one, confrontation is not always the best thing with an emotionally weak person. I'm gonna go set them straight, or I'm gonna confront them. Some people love it that way. There's some people, just tell me, just come at me, I'm okay, I can deal with that. Other people, you can't. And most of us, you can't. You know, that's the reality. We take a position, we tend to defend it, and so learning to enter and exit a discussion carefully and kindly is important in a relationship. There are 10 things you can do if you have someone in your life who you consider to be emotionally weak and you want to have a good relationship, and it's in our member portal today on our website for members who support the ministry. Thank you for being a part of it monthly. Your monthly support allows us to continue to reach people through Intentional Living Message on our podcast, through our radio program and publications and the things that we do. So thank you for being a part of the ministry. Today, you can join us by calling during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or go on over to the website where safe and securely you can become a part of the ministry today, at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. I do want to say thanks to those of you that helped us close out 2025 a couple weeks ago. I've gotten the report. We fell a little bit short of the need of where we wanted to wrap up and needed to wrap up the year. And so it is particularly important and appreciated your gift today to help us as we begin 2026 to remain strong in reaching people for Christ. You can do that again. Call 888-888-1717 or come on over to our website at theintentionallife.com. And boy, I want to say thank you for your support.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Welcome back to the Intentional Living Center. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Glad to be with you today. And you know, this topic, when do you feel most loved, is a really powerful question. Can I challenge you to take your good intentions in your marriage and set them aside for a moment and go to the expectation side of the equation and ask your spouse that question? When do you feel most loved by me? Because that's their expectation. You meet their expectation and your intentions will take care of themselves. If your intention is good, and then go to the expectation, ask them, when do you feel most loved? And make sure that's what you do, because that's a powerful thing in their marriage. This gets back to kind of what my friend Gary Chapman writes about the love languages. You know, some is touch, some is gifts, sometimes it's words of affirmation, whatever it is, to know your spouse well enough. Powerful thing today. All right, back to the calls. Sherry is on the line from Michigan. Thank you for waiting, Sherry. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks.
Good, appreciate your call. We've been asking the question, when do you feel most loved?
Well, I feel very, very much loved when my husband, who is fighting cancer, comes home from a long day at work, he's not feeling the best or whatever, and might see me either struggling with something or out in the garden, and he will come out and he will help me through things. He will, you know, help me get whatever I'm doing accomplished before he even sits down to relax. And I know that there are times when he's in a lot of pain, but he's still putting me first, and that's when I feel that immense love.
Well, God love him for that. And again, you know,
yeah.
We started this trail, this discussion down this path because we know it's the simple things.
Yeah.
And the message that you get from your husband is, you're more important to me than my own comfort right now in this pain I'm going through.
Yeah.
How are you dealing with your husband having cancer?
It's funny you should ask that, because I went and, for the very first time, spoke with a counselor today because I lost my dad August 15th to cancer. Mm. And now my husband is in his fourth battle of this. And I just keep saying that, you know, God's going to take this test and somehow turn it into a testimony. I don't know how, I don't know when, but that's what I'm leaning on.
Yeah. So what is it you wrestle with most? Is it worry or anxiety? What is
the fear?
Yeah.
The fear of this, you know, this would be the last time, maybe like when we go fishing and I look at him and I watch him and, you know, is this going to be the last time, or am I going to have another year? Or, you know, when I watch him with the grandkids, that breaks my heart, you know. Because right today he's feeling good. But then there's days where when he comes home, I see it all over his face. And the blue eyes that I fell in love with are just racked, and he in agony. And all I can do is just help him and, you know, kind of pray him through it while I'm praying myself through it.
Yeah. Have you been able to talk to him about how you're feeling? And you guys been able to share? That's good.
Yeah, we have really good communications, and you know, we've talked about the fear, and, you know, I mean, our doctors are saying that, you know, he could be here, you know, for many years, and it could be next year. So, I mean, cancer is a very uncertain thing, as we know, but, you know, after losing my dad and now, you know, my husband's still fighting, I'm just thinking, man, you know, I need a break, and he needs a break.
Can I pray with you?
Absolutely. I would appreciate it very much.
You know, we started, Sherry, with the question on when do you feel most loved, and you said it was when he put his own pain aside to show love to you. And, you know, you think about, that's what Christ did for us, too, in a sense. When you think about it, he set aside who he is, in a sense, and became one of us, and went through the agony as a gift to us. And you talk about an example of love. We're talking today, when do you feel most loved? And we're not talking about the Mercedes that show up in the driveway. Now, you may feel love for a short time when that happens, right? But when your husband going through cancer comes out and helps you in his own pain, his own agony, and she says, I see it in his eyes, and comes out and helps me in the garden, you'd trade the Mercedes for that moment, right? Lord, I do pray for Sherry, for her husband. We know you're a God of healing. We know you're a God of restoration. And of course, our heart's desire would be to see Sherry's husband touched and healed of this cancer and released from the pain. But I'm confident that Sherry and her husband have a higher calling to know that they want your will, whatever that is, for their life. And we pray for that. And thank you for Sherry sharing her story today. And I pray that you would comfort her, give her peace, help her with the fear that she wrestles with, because we know that that's not ultimately from you. Give her confidence of your love and her husband's love through this process, in Christ's name.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Sherry, for your call.
Yep. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Kathy. I guess my comment on Tinder marriages that I've experienced is sharing. That can come in many different forms. I guess sharing a touch, communicating that you understand what I'm trying to say, and it could be sharing a cup of tea for that matter. Just sitting down and sharing and talking. And to me, that brings tenderness. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Communication, one author calls it the key to marriage. And as she just mentioned, sharing, that's important. Not only words, but just sharing time together. And as my friend Gary Chapman writes, learning the five love languages. What's the primary love language of your spouse? And then learning to speak that every day. I think that's sort of a theme that came through today. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to love one another. And that certainly should begin in our marriage and our family. And if that's not happening, then you're not experiencing God's best intention for your life. And you can, beginning today, if you decide to, if you decide to. Speaking of decisions, we're going to talk about how do you make better decisions? How do you make decisions that can make 2026 better for your life, different for you and your family? We're going to talk about that tomorrow on Intentional Living. Don't miss it. Decision making, the first step in really living an intentional life in Christ. Again, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support and for being a part of the Intentional Living Ministry, your faithfulness. And that's really what it is. And your monthly support continuing through this year is greatly appreciated. Find out more about Intentional Living, how it can change your life and maybe the lives of those that you know an intentional life in Christ. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. I'm Dr. Randy for Stephen and Jennifer and the team. God bless you. Thanks for being a part of the ministry today. Intentional Living is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.